Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up. It is Monday, April 21st. My name is Magnus Tiefeld. I'm your host for the next hour. And we got a great show lined up for you today. It is, of course, the middle of a federal election. We have one more week in the campaign and we've been doing a lot of great coverage. We've talked to all the regional mayors, just about. And been featuring those on Speak Up, and we're speaking to as many candidates as we can. They're not all as available as we'd love, but we got some stuff happening. So we're going to start the show off today with an interview done by Danny with Liberal candidate for Burnaby Central, Wade Chang. A little after that, we have an interview with Norman Glimsky from Big Brothers of Greater Vancouver. National Volunteer Week is coming up on April 27th through to May the 3rd. And Big Brothers is hoping to get some new participants in their mentorship programs for young people. And we'll hear from Norman talking about that. A little later on, we have, of course, our regular weekly segment, Gardening with Embark, with Pablo Vimas. And we're finishing the show off today with a bit of a discussion about Milton Friedman with regular contributor Peter R.H. All that more coming up on Speak Up. Let's get started with Danny's interview with Liberal candidate for Burnaby Central, Wade Chang.
Reporting from Burnaby, B.C., this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. Ahead of the April 28th federal election, CJSF has put the ask out to every MP candidate in Burnaby, New West, and the Tri-Cities to give them an opportunity to explain their platforms, as well as their stated goals and hopes if elected as MP. This interview is with Wade Chang, the Liberal Party's MP candidate for the Burnaby Central riding. All candidates in this riding received interview requests from CJSF. This interview has also been edited for clarity and brevity. Please take a listen. So the first thing I want to ask you is if you could provide a bit of background about yourself. You know, why did you decide to run for this federal election for the federal Liberals?
No problem. So just like many of us in Burnaby Central, my family moved to Canada from Taiwan to pursue a better life. And I remember it was back in 1999 or year 2000. So my dad was a small business owner and my mom was a nurse. They couldn't give me much, but they gave me a life filled with endless possibility. I'm an internationally trained lawyer. I got my law degree from the University of Melbourne and my MBA from Oxford. So I went to study and work abroad because I want to see the world, diversify my experience as well as unlocking my potential. I mean, this experience has helped me get out of my comfort zone and open my mind to the complexity of the world. Being geographically away from home did not dilute my Canadian identity. In fact, after fully immersing myself in various cultures and living in different countries, I developed a deeper appreciation for being Canadian. So life took me to different places, but love took me home. I'm ready to embrace a new challenge, and I look forward to making tangible and inspirational contribution to Burnaby Central.
What would you say is one of the key campaign issues that you've seen so far this election? You know, you've been on the campaign trail now for the last couple of weeks in Burnaby Central. What are you seeing people talk about?
Well, as I have been knocking on doors, one thing kept coming up. So people are worried about Donald Trump's return to the White House and what they mean, what they mean for our economy, our retirement savings, our jobs, and global stability. They are also concerned about Pierre Poilievre because his plan sounds like deep cuts into our social welfare programs, our healthcare programs that Canadians rely heavily when times get tough. Also, people are concerned about housing, the prices, housing and healthcare.
And if elected, what would you do in service of Burnaby Central to address housing for the area?
Yeah, I think the Liberal plan offers a clear, practical solution to tackle housing crisis in Canada and probably in Burnaby as well. A Macron-led Liberal government will double home construction to 500,000 new homes per year, create a new federal agency called Build Canada Homes to lead affordable housing efforts and cut development costs, as well as investing in energy-efficient, climate-resilient homes, all using Canadian innovation and Canadian workers. As an MP here in Burnaby Central, I will make sure that Burnaby Central has the right funding and the right technology, right talent to help us build homes here locally.
If you were elected as MP for Burnaby Central, how would you collaborate with other elected MPs of the Lower Mainland? You know, assuming that not every single MP is going to be at the Liberal Party, what would you do to collaborate, in a sense, and put aside differences in order to address the issues that you've been mentioning?
Okay, so once elected, I plan to have like a tea party or coffee party with my constituents and other MPs locally here in the Lower Mainland area every 6 to 8 weeks, so I can hear different perspectives from the riding and other ridings and bring these ideas and perspectives back to Ottawa and work with my colleagues in Ottawa.
One of the things you mentioned in one of your previous answers had to do with the Liberal platform promise to double housing in Canada. I'm curious if you can explain the mechanisms behind that. How would the Liberal Party ensure that that is something that can happen?
One of the major steps is that the Liberal, Mulcahy-led Liberal government will increase the use of federal land. That includes in Burnaby, Burnaby Central, and making sure that we are working with the city and the province to free up and speed up development cost and the processes. So that the overall cost will be like lower and will be faster in terms of construction time. Yeah.
The next thing I wanted to ask you is why you believe you're the best candidate to represent Burnaby Central. You know, the current incumbent for this riding is the federal NDP leader, Jagmeet Singh, who's been representing this riding for quite a while now. Where do you see your approach differ, and why do you believe that you were the best to represent this riding?
Okay. Just like I say, like many of us in Burnaby Central, I myself is an immigrant. So my journey has taken me to different places, including studying at UBC, the University of Melbourne, and then Oxford. I also work in Australia, Taiwan, and here back in Canada. So I know what policy truly work, and I know how strong leadership can transform our communities. So now I want to bring this global perspective back to Burnaby and make Burnaby or transform Burnaby into a more innovative and business-friendly environment. I believe that my cultural immersion and global experiences are my strengths and make me a unique candidate who brings a fresh perspective and a commitment and a willingness to think in a new way to some deeply entrenched problems.
All right. Those were all of the questions that I had to ask of you, but if you have anything else you want to say to the voters of the Burnaby Central riding, what would that be?
I do have a social innovation plan around the BC IT area. We all know that there's a business park next to the BC IT campus, but everybody knows about it, but nobody talks about that business park or IT park. So I want to transform that area into Canada's IT hub for information technology and digital media so that we can create more jobs locally. And also, I would like to invite foreign companies or like from the Asia Pacific region and the European Union to invest here in Burnaby. And I also encourage our local businesses to, you know, to expand their business to the Asia Pacific and to Europe. And one key message for Burnaby Central voters is that Macroni and I will make sure that Burnaby stay progressive while, you know, we are building stronger economy locally.
Okay. Just
like in terms of climate change, I have one comment maybe. I believe that Canada's natural heritage is under threat. So from the worsening impact of the climate change, reckless development, and now a new danger, Donald Trump. He wants our land, our water, and our resources. And he wants a weaker Canada to make that happen, but we won't let him. I mean, like a Macroni-led Liberal government will protect our environment with indigenous knowledge, cutting-edge technology, and strengthen a united Canada. So Macroni has announced a bold plan to defend Canada's environment and sovereignty by protecting our nature, by protecting our environment, investing in clean water and conservation, and standing strong against Donald Trump's attempt to undermine us. Yeah, so that's my stance on climate change.
Once again, that was our interview with Wade Chang, the Liberal Party MP candidate for the Burnaby Central riding. CJSF has sent out interview requests to all candidates within the riding ahead of the April 28th federal election. This interview would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
This is Bird Note. Great-tailed grackles live up to their name. The glossy black males trail their long, V-shaped tails behind them as they fly, almost like a plane towing a banner ad. And while not quite as flashy, the brown-feathered females have impressively long tails too. The males settle disputes by fanning their tails. But if the feathers aren't enough to intimidate their rival, a wrestling match ensues. Also known as the Mexican grackle, this species lives in all sorts of habitats, from the northern coasts of South America to the western U.S. They keep their nests secure in tall trees, sometimes over 60 feet high. Their ability to live in both cities and farmland has helped great-tailed grackles expand as far north as Iowa. But they're still more abundant in Central America and southern Texas, where their cacophony of calls helps create the local soundscape. Great-tailed grackles rattle, screech, whistle, and creak, sounding more machine than bird at times. And grackles are fond of gathering in flocks of thousands. Adding all those squeaks and clicks together creates a symphony unlike any other. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Joining me in the studio now is Norman Galimsky of Big Brothers of Greater Vancouver. You're the marketing and communication manager. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Magnus.
So most people have probably heard of Big Brothers, but tell us more about Big Brothers and what it does.
Absolutely. Most people have actually really heard about us, about our clothing donation services, and they kind of just stick to that level of knowledge. But really, the point of what our clothing donation services, which is a social enterprise, meaning it's a business that's completely nonprofit, it funds all our youth mentorship programs, which serves between 800 and 1,200 kids per year.
Well, so tell me a bit more about what those youth mentorship programs are and what they mean and how they operate.
Absolutely. Like most people have maybe heard of a big brother or big sister, and that's kind of our bread and butter program, where that's us matching a youth in the community who could use like an extra adult in their life, and also matching them with a volunteer who's there, who are looking to give back in their community in a way that really makes an impact on somebody really forever.
So what is that big brother, big sister relationship like, and what kind of youth are you looking to help with it?
At the end of the day, I had the privilege and lucky role to meet a lot of our mentors. I volunteer myself in the in-school mentoring program. I was also a little in our in-school mentoring program almost 20 years ago. But at the end of the day, it's just being a friend. It's being that extra adult role model who's not in a position of power. It's not a parent. It's not a counselor. It's not a teacher. It's just a positive adult in your life, and it's an additional presence to really kind of just do all that, what is called mentorship, what happens all in the background. It's not just about sitting down, teaching lessons. It's about having fun, and then all of those things where you're having that next door neighbor or that uncle, or are having those older brothers in your life or sisters in your life, really. All those little lessons that happen in the background and get passed on through all these positive interactions once a week.
Who are the youth who are being helped by these services?
Our service region, that's everything from the North Shore to Surrey, Richmond, Tri-Cities, Vancouver, and Burnaby, of course, New Westminster. And it's usually either a family who kind of asks their child, like, hey, would you like to have a big brother? Maybe a school teacher or a counselor who says, hey, you know, this child over here could really benefit from an extra additional adult presence. So there's a lot of stereotypes of like, oh, it's children who don't have like a male figure in their life. And yes, that is a lot of the case. Our mission is always to serve those most in need. But there is no specific guidelines of who can be a little. It's those who can benefit from it. And we're here to kind of meet families and youth where they're at to really kind of elevate and bring experiences to youth in our community.
So if there's families out there that think maybe this would be something for helpful for one of their kids or you know, a teacher at school or whatever, they shouldn't, anyone can fit in, you know, anyone who they think maybe would benefit, be referred to you guys.
Absolutely. And there's no shortage of demand of families reaching out to us because it is such an impactful program. Everybody who kind of joins our programs, especially the families and the children, it's always such a really positive experience. And that word of mouth has really, over the last 50 plus years, has really been saying, like, you don't really have to champion such a great cause, because really it's once a family and a youth enroll, that there's a ripple effect in the community because of that positive effect.
National Volunteer Week is coming up next week.
Yes, the last week of April to first week of May.
April 27th to May 3rd. What does that mean for your organization?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for us to say, hey, look at the amazing volunteers. We still need volunteers. Like we just said, there's such a huge family demand, and really BC is growing so fast, especially our community of Surrey, that the volunteer demand is not meeting the demand from families. So we're really having, really since the pandemic, we really, really don't like using, keep referencing the pandemic and all that. It's been a while, but it's a really important historical key point, really, is like that was a change, and it's been a change since then, and a lot of organizations have been struggling, especially when it comes to volunteers, volunteer recruitment. The culture of volunteering has changed, and I've had conversations across community leaders from across our whole service area, and yeah, it's volunteerism has changed, especially when it comes to Big Brothers programs. It's our programs are a little bit more, it's not a Sunday volunteering. It is, all our programs are once a week. However, it is between 8 to 10 weeks or up to a year, depending on which program. We have several of them. So ours is a little bit of a commitment, but really it's such an impactful thing. That's why Big Brothers Big Sisters has existed across the world for nearly 100 years. I think actually more than 100 years. So it's quite an impactful thing for any community to have.
Big Brothers has faced a bit of a shortage of qualified volunteers in recent years. What has that meant for your services?
Absolutely. And I'd like to just qualify, your qualification is almost anybody can be a volunteer.
Okay.
Really, the one qualification is, are you available? And are you willing to show up once a week and be consistent? Because number one, consistency is the most powerful thing anybody can really have, whether it's being a mentor or showing up to work. Being consistent is really the only qualification for us. But really, our mentors they're so diverse. They come from just a myriad of backgrounds and diversity. So it's quite inspirational from when I get to meet so many of our bigs in our programs, whether it's Bigs and Littles annual picnic or our Big Night of Swords, Big Night of Stars awards night, where we get to recognize amazing mentors. There's just endless stories of how impactful these volunteers are in our community.
So what is the process for becoming a big brother?
That's a great question. It's quite straightforward. You would just go to our website, bigbrothersvancouver.com, and click volunteer, and it will take you to a volunteer application form. It's a little. We usually ask people to take about 30 minutes to fill it out. It is quite comprehensive. We have a lot of regulations because we're with children, so we're just always safety first. That's before anything. It's always safety first for us. So maybe the biggest, the one common thread from all our volunteers is, yeah, the application process is a little bit long. But once you submit that application form, our team starts to process it. We reach out to you if there's any questions or if there's any maybe missing pieces in the application. And then after that, you have an interview and they say, hey, great, maybe this is the right program. How about this alternative program that works better for your schedule? We're always about intentionally matching each volunteer for each program because we're all different. We all have different lifestyles, different availabilities, and also different kind of values. So whether it's more academic or more community-based, more sports-based, we have options for a little bit of everything. But once you go through that process, that usually takes maybe if your application is completely filled out nicely, it usually takes about 2 to 3 months. And yeah, then we match you with either the program or a big and little. And of course, every match is very intentional. So the family must be on board and the volunteer must be on board. And our staff, we call them mentoring coordinators, are there every step of the way and throughout the process. And so sometimes it takes a really short time to find a match. Sometimes it takes a very long time to find a match for depending on the municipality.
What do volunteers get out of participating in a program like Big Brothers? You've seen it from both sides. So maybe you can talk a bit about personally, but also more generally.
Absolutely. I'll talk about kind of what the volunteers have told me from my experiences at the last 3 years at Big Brothers is, a very common thread is you get more out of it than you put in. It's a very rewarding experience. It's a lot of mentors are always surprised of how much it affects them. They go in saying, hey, you know, I want to try something new. I want to leave a positive effect in the community for youth. And then they're in the program, whether it's 10 weeks in some certain programs or 1 year in other programs. And they come out saying, I've grown so much as a person. I didn't realize how much this would affect me. I've come out of my shell so much. I've become a more confident leader, a better teacher, a little like I learned how to bring my best self when I need it and when I want it. And just having that experience, like reconnecting with their youth is such a common thread where, especially right now in this day and age where everyone's really working just to make the bills that we got to pay. It's such a great opportunity to say, hey, this is 1 hour, 2 hours where I don't need to worry about that. I get to have fun. And it's such an impactful experience for everyone. From a little bit of a personal experience, it's a great opportunity for just saying, oh, this is playtime. We're going to go to our go-to activity. I've been a big in the in-school mentoring program for this is my third season now. So we love to play soccer. And if it's raining, we either play chess or big two. My little is so good at chess. It's he beats me quite a bit. It's quite impressive, but it's just such a fun experience. And like when if people have the opportunity and the chance to partake in any of these programs, it's such a great experience.
Yeah, we're a volunteer organization here at CJSF as well, and you know we are talking also about National Volunteer Week, which is an opportunity to get involved with your organization or my organization or many other organizations. I can certainly speak from my side. You really do get way more out of volunteering than you put in. And not just in terms of personal fulfillment experience, but even practical experience. I know when we're looking at hiring people for summer jobs or other positions, we absolutely look at their volunteer experience. And in many cases, especially for young people, students and stuff, you know, in many cases, their volunteering experience can be more relevant to jobs they're applying for than their work experience.
Absolutely. Especially employers are looking for, especially in the tight job market, they're looking to find those people who are not only just qualified, but also committed to their communities. So that really shows that, you know, every person is, they're bringing more to the table than meets the eye, than what a piece of paper or a bachelor's degree will say. It's really saying, hey, this person's committed and they're involved in their community and they're going to bring all those values with them to the workplace. Absolutely.
Yeah. And especially with a, you know, position like the Big Brothers positions and many others, you know, it really does show that level of commitment, a level of leadership and responsibility, which is so valuable. And as you say as well, you know, on top of all that, you get a great personal experience through your engagement with, you know, whether it's a young person through Big Brother or a myriad of other volunteering opportunities. It can be really quite transforming.
Absolutely.
How do people, you know, people are intrigued by your program, if some of our students here at SFU or in the community, or, and of course, as you say, it's open to everybody, not just young people, people of all ages. How do they find out more about Big Brothers and get involved?
The easiest thing to do is just Google Big Brothers of Greater Vancouver a volunteer or inquire, and you'll find us. So go to bigbrothersofvancouver.com. Top right corner, you'll see a volunteer button, and I would follow it from there. We also host bi-weekly online info sessions. So that's free. That's on Eventbrite. We do that every Thursday at noon. It takes about 20, 30 minutes. So if you have any doubts, you're just curious, bring a friend. We're available every other week in a kind of a group setting. We also have one-on-one meetings. If that works, that schedule doesn't work for you, we're there for you. We schedule meetings, whether it's after hours, before hours. We're happy to kind of meet anyone where they're at. And you can email us at volunteer@bbgvf.com and to set that up, or head to our website and you'll also find that. We try to make it as easy as possible for people to find information about how you can get involved.
Great. And what's the website again?
bigbrothersvancouver.com.
Excellent. Very easy. Norman Galimsky, thank you so much for joining us today. Norman Galimsky of Big Brothers of Greater Vancouver. National Volunteer Week is April 27th to May 3rd. Sign up for Big Brothers or sign up for many other volunteer organizations and have a great experience. Thanks for joining me today, Norman.
Thanks, Magnus.
Ich bin Arndt Peltner von Radio Goethe. Ihr hört Mike mit Noise of Carpet right here on CJSF 90.1 FM and cjsf.ca. Hello, this is Arndt Peltner, host of Radio Goethe. You're listening to Mike and his Noise of Carpet, celebrating the indie noises of the 90s on CJSF 90.1 FM and cjsf.ca.
Got a craving heavily for behaving heavenly with you and making melodies. Late night at East D's and spring breeze is part of the breeze. I wanna get between your knees and kick the dirty do not to cool out. Put the jazz on, bruise a bit, that's the mood out tonight. All the little restrictions make me want the friction even more. Leaving late out your door, stars glimmer up above and the mood is core. Hardcore type galore, I bet that you're sure. Plus we've been there before, we can go there again. But for now it's just something for the pen, my friend. Consideration, ain't that amazing? Yeah, say it again, yeah. Consideration, is this amazing? Come, let's get it glazing. Consideration, ain't that amazing? Yeah, here comes the glazing. Think about the blend when I'm out late wandering. My distinct pondering is potent cause I'm on to things, yeah. On the group that I wanna bring, cause you ain't let me make you wanna sing. I won't consider me an idiot, just a spring libido affiliate. Sunday night militant funk thoughts and drilling it. Debunk the wonder when I'm knowing that you're feeling it. Inquisitive proposition pivot on a late shift. The durable will make your face twitch in the best way. Nothing but great shit, then repeat it again. Blast off, rocket on that ass talk. Though we go mellow, that's the way of the monk. Love to get down with my universal. Say this in strokes, girl. I know it sound wild for these times. Just being real, so come back, let's recline. Considerations, that's just amazing. I don't feel it, yeah. Consideration, ain't that amazing? I hope you like the phrase. Consideration, ain't that amazing? I'll be blazing. Consideration, ain't that amazing? Here come the glazing.
Good morning, and it's time for Gardening with Embark. With our
good morning,
with our resident gardens expert Pablo Vimes of Embark Sustainability Society up here at SFU. Welcome, Pablo.
Glad to be here and very happy. It's sunny out there.
So we've just dragged you away from a bit of celebration in your honor.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I've been celebrating my 10 years with Embark, 10 years as a garden manager.
Excellent. And Yes, they had a bit of a surprise party for you over there.
They did. I was quite surprised indeed. Yeah, it's interesting to see how the time has flied and how long I've been with Embark.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to put that 10 years plus of experience to work here on today's episode.